You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
A good 3 weeks.
Way too long. Oh, no. No, months. Well, last time we did this was beginning of the year, right? Because didn't we skip a week and then we went into the...
And then we went into the Star Wars. Then we aired the Star Wars bits.
All right. Let's say 3 weeks for the listeners.
So I had my musical that was in the works that's now kind of, you know...
It's postponed. It's not
postponed.
Done.
It's crashed and burned.
No. Don't say that.
I'm
it's going to
so
be awesome.
Depressed.
You just
I'm
need
seriously
time.
Seriously, so depressed.
Listen,
about this.
Don't be depressed because if I weren't going on this 2 week European tour, I would have saved your not saved your ass. I probably would have ruined your show.
I don't think I
would have had
to
a warm
you.
Body.
I wouldn't have been able to use you.
Oh, really?
No,
I'm that bad.
I need an old man. I need someone like in their middle age, like 50. Maybe
yeah, can't make
with
me
a,
up
with a beard. I don't want to make someone up.
All right,
I want the person.
I get typecast
because I had one of my cast members was like, "Well, I could get somebody who's about 17, but we can get him." I'm like, I don't want to put old age makeup on someone. This isn't a high school performance. For a while, I had grown my beard out because I was like, okay, worst comes to worst, I'll go ahead and I'll play this role.
I miss it.
I do too. It looked better than this.
It was
right
longer
now.
Than the hair that was on your head.
It really,
really
was.
Impressive.
And I also need a black man, and you're not a black man either.
You know what? Again, don't typecast me. I'm multi-talented.
Joel, you're about as white as they get.
I am pretty cornbread.
You're pretty right. White. So no, but now that that's not happening anytime
just for now,
soon,
think positive thoughts. Everybody clap your hands in the audience.
And bring Tinkerbell back to life. So I was like, hey, Joel.
Hey Joe,
I know you really want to get back in the studio and do.
I just
like,
miss you.
There was no moratorium. You're like, hey, I know there's no musical going on, so I just thought maybe we can get in the
Listen,
studio.
Had
do
nothing
one.
To do with the musical. I didn't think we were going to be on hiatus for 3 months until the musical went. I just knew you were going through auditions and early on. It's really heavy. I just thought we'd sparse them out a little.
I'm glad that you brought it.
Hey,
up.
Hey, I missed you, buddy.
I missed you too, and I'm glad that we did this.
Let's get you out of this funk.
This week, we watched the Jeremy Renner Gemma Arterton.
Is that how you say her name?
I think so.
Oh, thank Christ.
Hansel and Gretel,
Hansel
Witch
and
Hunters.
Gretel, yes.
And, all right, so
by the
if
way,
you were to see the trailers for this movie, you would think like, oh, okay, this is following suit from like the whole Van Helsing thing.
Right.
You know, Hugh Jackman doing Van Helsing. We're kind of like updating while still keeping it in the old world. We're going to update kind of telling that story. Mm-hmm. And so Hansel and Gretel, a lot like how the legend goes, it's about a couple of kids. They were lost in the forest or whatever. They came across this house made of candy, started eating candy or whatever, got taken in by this witch.
Yeah.
And they were almost cooked. And they end up killing the witch, and that starts them down this path of, like, we are now witch hunters.
Yeah.
And the rest of it kind of, plays out by the numbers, you know? It's they go across the European countryside, and they help
right.
little towns out, and the story begins, they're in the middle, you know, that this town is in the middle of this big rally, and this guy played by Peter Stormare is accusing a woman of witchcraft, and he's about to, you know, burn her. And that's when Hansel and Gretel come in, and they're like, hey, let this girl go. She's not a witch. And they, like, check her out, and they're like, no, witches usually have rotting on the teeth and the eyes. And so, you know, they prove, okay, she's not a witch. And that's when we get, like, a little bit more of the story that, okay, these two have been all over the countryside. They're kind of badass now. They know how to carry themselves. They make a good team. And we're about to go on this hour-and-a-half ride where they hunt witches.
And you described it as, you know, being more in the Van Helsing field.
That's what I thought I was going to expect. That's what I thought I was going to expect from the trailers. It seemed like we were going to get a Van Helsing kind
of
story.
Yeah, they didn't really do a good job of marketing it. Although,
no.
What do you do? Because this movie, I was reading up on it. This movie came out like 9 months after it was supposed to originally release.
They held it for 9 months to coincide with Jeremy Renner because he had the Avengers and
the
Mission
Avengers,
Impossible.
Exactly. So it ended up finally coming out just a scant year ago, 2013.
Uh-huh.
Really just over a year. It was like January 25th. And if you know anything about film and when they release films,
yeah,
you know that anything between the months of what, January and March,
it's the dregs.
It's where the studios dump all the bullshit that's not going to be nominated for Oscars, and it's not even a Hollywood blockbuster.
Except
it's like,
for the Lego Movie.
Except for Lego Movie, and I would also throw in the Matrix. The Matrix was a March release.
Was it?
Called in 1999.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
It was way, way pre-summer when everybody thought it was going to be a flop. Nobody knew what it was.
Yeah.
Got this sort of weird sci-fi Keanu
Reeves.
The
studios had no faith in that movie.
No, of course not. No reason to. Keanu Reeves is your lead role, and he was coming off of, was he? No, he wasn't even in Speed 2.
No.
Which, looking back, was probably a smart career choice.
I honestly think like the last thing he did before that movie was A Walk in the Clouds.
Oh my God, I remember,
do you remember
that
movie?
I do. It'll be our Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah,
A
there
Walk
you
in
go.
The Clouds.
So yeah, all right. So this came out around then? It was like a February-March release?
It was January 25th.
And, oh, wow.
So you knew just that, and then I think it was also one of those movies where they didn't release it. They didn't let reviewers see it ahead of time.
Oh.
And that's the red flag number two.
That is a red flag.
Red flag number three, for me personally, was when I queued it up in the Netflix list. I guess they call it a list now. It's not a queue anymore. Hit play, and what's the first thing you see is... MTV Films presents.
That's exactly, yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit.
I saw MTV, and I had no idea.
I didn't know either.
I didn't know it was an
MTV.
Well,
I think they've done the M. Night Shyamalan thing, and they've gotten smart, and they're trying not to advertise.
They don't throw, like, the astronaut, like, they just label it, like, right there in the middle.
It's like, oh, by the way, we have to legally tell you that MTV Films was behind this, so.
But only, I feel like MTV Films was only in it, like, through name alone, and through distribution, because did you see who produced this movie?
I know who.
Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
You know what? I saw that on the Wikipedia page. I call shenanigans. Is there anything to substantiate that claim?
The fact
besides
that
Wikipedia,
the fact that their name is in the opening credits.
Was it? Oh,
yeah,
no,
that's
way.
How I was watching and I paused it for a second because it was right after like Hans Zimmer's name showed up.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And I was like, wait, what was that? And I rewound it. And music supervisor.
Yeah, huh. Yeah. That's okay. That's red flag number four, by the way. He didn't even believe enough in the film to like
to do his own. In all fairness, in the past 2 years, Hans Zimmer has scored every movie that's been released.
That's what I'm saying. So when he's willing to put his name on everything except this one, he didn't want to quite commit to doing the music. He's like, I supervise.
This,
I supervise. By the way.
But
I'm far away from this as possible.
Like two groups of names later.
No way.
Was Will Ferrell, Adam McKay.
All right.
And I was like, wait a minute, what?
Adam McKay.
But it made a lot of this make a little bit more sense for me.
Yeah.
Because like you said, and I was saying this to Jeff and to Fisher, the MVP guys were here before us.
Yeah.
I was telling them this movie was not advertised correctly.
No, not at all.
Because I kind of fucking loved it.
It's pretty enjoyable.
I kind of loved this movie. I was telling Jeff, I really don't have a whole lot to tear apart.
Yeah.
Because I really, really liked it. And I'm kicking myself for not seeing it in the theater.
Oh, really? Oh, this would have been a great one to see.
It would have
like
been.
That audience who loves those kind of campy
it was totally,
John Carpenter
it
type
was,
movies.
It was totally, yeah, exactly. It was a send up. It felt like I was watching John Carpenter. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was watching early Sam Raimi.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
a lot
oh, yeah.
of like the ultra violence and the frantic
editing
cameras.
Too. Exactly, the quick cutting.
Uh-huh.
It's those some of those action scenes are really impressive.
The fight sequences when they're going fisticuffs with witches, like that's funny to me.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
I laughed out loud several times mm-hmm. in this movie, and I think that's what they were hoping would be the reaction.
And that explains why it was released in January instead of later on in the year. Because the studios don't get stuff like that. They really don't. It's kind of like Drag Me to Hell or the movie Doomsday.
I love both
of those. Those movies were the kind of movies that like studios execs, they don't get what those movies are. They don't understand how to market those movies or what to do with them. Where do we categorize this? But film fans, I feel like film fans kind of get it. They know. They're, oh, okay, I get what this is. And this is totally in that realm.
And especially when you see like what the director had done before. I didn't realize until after the fact, but he was responsible for Dead Snow, the Nazi
zombie movie. Yeah.
So I was like, now it's coming together. Now it makes sense. But why would you greenlight a movie like this without understanding the audience it's playing to and advertising?
I honestly think that the studios would greenlight something like this because they still have something like Van Helsing in their head.
Yeah.
And if you go to them with just this concept written down on a piece of paper, Hansel and Gretel, older, badasses, hunting witches. We're already talking about a society where people in our generation and even like after us mm-hmm. are into like Buffy and
oh, hell yeah.
and Angel and Supernatural. And yep. So this is kind of right up their alley. This totally fits with that.
I throw that in the Hercules and Xena category too. It kind of had that feel. Even the way
Once
that
Once Upon a Time shows.
Oh yeah. But even so much in the way that like the characters, they don't try to make it a period piece at all.
No.
Except I feel like all the extras were, but Hansel and Gretel are the most Americanized.
They're very American.
They're using a modern vernacular. Well, they're saying things like cool and fuck. And yeah, there's a lot of F-bombs
there was,
in here.
And that was another thing that Fisher and I were talking about, that they don't really specify when this movie is.
Yeah.
Like there's no period. Because you see the gadgets they're using, the weapons they're using.
Got fucking guns.
They're not period. Like the way the bullets that they're, just the ammunition alone, you're like, this is not period. Like this is not old school Europe. And yes, the vocabulary that these characters are using, and that brings up one of the things that was, it kept me from seeing the movie originally. Yeah. And it was in the trailers, like listening to Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton speak with American accents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what the fuck is that all about? They're supposed to be in Europe. Why are they speaking like this? Now, my friend April and I have this theory that it's because Jeremy Renner couldn't speak with an accent.
That might be true.
So that's why they had the Gemma Arterton just go
Jeff
ahead.
Jeff is nodding ahead.
And speak with an American accent because they needed them to fit because they're brother and sister. But then a part of me, after watching the movie, I can't help but think a lot of the things they say, it works better.
Oh, yeah.
It works better to have that brash, brazen American accent.
It's where a lot of that comedy comes from.
Exactly. At the very end, and, you know, I'm going to be skipping all over the place because, honestly, I have no idea where to start if I was going to pick this thing apart. But at the very end, when they come across the candy house again, and they both have a moment at one point where they're like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Could you imagine if that was done in an English accent? It wouldn't have been as funny.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
It wouldn't have been as funny.
Right.
But to hear them... You got to be fucking kidding me. Like, it's really, I mean, it plays really well.
It was funny the first time because he says it first, right? Uh-huh. And then she stumbles upon it later, and it's like the same camera move, yes. The same reaction. You're like, ah, I see what they did there.
Uh-huh.
That was really, really clever.
Yeah, okay. So I loved it. How did you feel about it?
I really enjoyed it, too. Yeah. It's hard to use the word love. I don't banty that around lightly. But I certainly have an appreciation for this film. And I do this a lot. You know, I try to judge a film on what it was trying to do on its own merits. Don't look at me all smug like you, motherfucker.
You're like, I don't throw around words like love. I mean, you can, but I like to take into account the merits of the film and
no, I'm just
the
saying,
flavors. I like to let them swish around in my mouth a little bit.
That did sound like a condescending thing for me to say.
It totally did.
A little hipster. No, but I mean, like, Dick. There are movies that I love. But this one I enjoyed the hell out of.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably never see it again, though.
Really? I will watch it again.
You think so? All right. Uh-huh. Well, if I go over to your place and it's on, I'm not going to tell you to turn it off because right. it was a fun ride. And it was like you said, it was like 90 minutes. It was uh-huh. a short movie. I don't get the feeling they left a lot of
there is
film
an extended
on the cutting
cut.
Room floor.
There's an extended cut of the movie. But there really isn't a whole lot that we didn't get to see. Like there's apparently a scene where the sheriff goes after the mayor.
Oh.
Yeah, which we didn't see. And the mayor does kind of disappear in our cut of the movie.
That's true.
But it explains what happened to him.
Hmm.
There's an extended sex scene of Jeremy Renner with...
what's her name? Mina.
Mina mm-hmm. in the healing pool or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just a little bit more with, like, the fights. Especially the big witch brouhaha at the end.
Oh, I would have loved
to have
seen that.
There's a lot more.
Because that was one of the highlights for me.
It really was so fun.
I don't want to get to that just yet, though.
Please, you've got bullet points. I've got nothing.
Well, no, really the only bullet points I have, because you talked about, you know, that this was marketed incorrectly, that it really didn't find its audience. Maybe it hasn't yet, although I feel like it's going to have a little bit of a cult following, especially for people who, like we said, love that John Carpenter style of movie.
Uh-huh.
The critics did not enjoy this.
No.
If you looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes, 15% of critics and only 54% of audiences. But again...
But that's actually a really good percentage.
Right.
And a hell of a discrepancy to pay attention
yes,
to.
Absolutely.
When the critics pan it so much, but then the audiences are behind it a significant amount more.
Yeah. A movie like this, critics go into it with a preconceived notion, and they've already written the review before they've even sat down and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they get it or not, they can't go back. They can't be the one critic. You know, Gene Shalit's not going right. to be like, I loved Hansel and Gretel.
But I can. I'll say it. I'll
yeah,
say
yeah,
that
yeah,
I loved
yeah.
it.
So, yeah, 54% audience, 6.2 stars on IMDb, and it actually made quite a little bit of money.
Did it?
Ran a profit. It was made for $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to take a guess as to what the final worldwide toll was?
I'd probably say that It was made for how much? 50 million?
50, 5-0.
All right, I'm going to go, it made 150 million.
Oh, 250 million.
Really?
Yeah, quite a profit. Now, that is taken into account worldwide profits. Okay. And also, it was the biggest. So the four countries that it did the best in are Brazil, Russia, Mexico, and Germany. And with the exception of Germany, you're kind of looking at some third world countries that are hard up for entertainment.
I'm not surprised though with the Mexican market.
No, me neither.
Because there's a lot of this movie feels like a Robert Rodriguez kind of thing
as
well.
Yeah.
There's so many things at work going on in this film that, you know, harken back to things that you've enjoyed from other filmmakers. But the thing is, it doesn't play out like a best of this filmmaker and this filmmaker and this filmmaker. No. They actually do a really good job of making it its own identity, its own entity, rather. The fight sequences alone, I touched on this, where they like, you know, they go fisticuffs with some of these witches. Now, there's some really exciting parts where they're like, you know, they're running around, they're chasing witches around. I mean, Hansel and Gretel are ever running in this movie. Like, they are just running.
Yeah.
I think at one point, Jeremy Renner, his character, Hansel, outruns a witch on a broomstick.
On a fucking broom, like, yeah. And twice in the movie, he like hangs onto a broom and just gets like knocked the fuck out.
But, you know, you totally get like a lot of that, like the Hong Kong kung fu kind of choreography going on with some of these fights, and it works.
It works, and because you know why? There's not a lot of CGI in this movie.
No, there's none of a this lot stuff of practical was effects.
Like, you didn't get the ILM kind of cartoony animated feel. Like, yeah, a lot of those effects, a lot of those stunts are practical. Mm-hmm. They're dropping people off of buildings and knocking witches out.
That's another thing. As much as Hansel and Gretel are running, they're falling just as much.
Poor motherfucker.
Hansel is like Wile E. fucking Coyote.
It
in
is
this
a little
movie,
bit of that.
Because he falls. If there's a chance for him to fall anywhere, he falls. He falls through floors, into basements. He falls out of trees. He falls off of cliffs. The dude is ever falling off of shit.
What did you think of Jeremy Renner in this role?
I thought it was passable. I like Jeremy Renner, though.
I do, too.
You know, I know there's a lot of people that don't enjoy watching him too much. I know there's a lot of people that are bothered by him physically. Because
he's so tiny.
Well, because he kind of looks like a treasure troll. He's got kind of that treasure troll face.
He's got a smushed face. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think he's all right. I thought he did a good job. I like Jeremy Renner in almost everything I've seen him in. I liked him in that SWAT movie.
Oh, fuck yeah. Where he plays
you're going to ruin a movie that came out like 8 years ago?
Doesn't he end up being the bad guy?
He is the bad guy.
All right, there you go. Sorry.
I liked him as Hawkeye in the Avengers.
Yeah, does a serviceable job.
I dug him in the Mission Impossible movie.
Now, I didn't see the new Bourne refresh. How was he there?
It was all right. I don't like the Bourne movies that much. I liked the first one.
What?
I liked the first one, but I didn't like all the rest. I blame the Bourne movies for really over-glamorizing the, like, handheld in your face.
You know,
not actually being able to see what's going on in the action sequences.
Just having a conversation with another editor the other day about those last two Bourne movies and how they're just, it's all handy cam. It's all, like, right up there.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of seeing this one in theaters sitting fairly close to the screen.
Yeah, that's what I did.
It's nigh unwatchable. You've got to be really far away or have a smaller TV and watch it at home.
Yeah.
I have an appreciation for that kind of editing. It's really hard to do to kind of get the flow. But yeah, 90 minutes of it straight on is tough.
Yeah, you can't do something like that for an entire act. If it's an action movie, you can't do that the entire time. Nolan tried to do that with Batman Begins.
Yeah.
And especially in the first fight sequence when he's in the prison. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of that. But the thing is, with Batman Begins, there's also a lot of like ramping up, and there's a lot of subtle moments, and then there's a fight, and then ramping up and subtle moments, and then there's a fight. Bourne, the two Bourne Identity movies, I always call them Bourne. I don't know what the other two are. But
Supremacy and
Ultimatum.
Ultimatum. Yeah,
okay. And they're like, some of them are 15-minute long action sequences where the camera is like right up against somebody's pores and you don't see what the hell's going on.
And even when it's not an action sequence, when it's like a slow, he's in the bathroom kind of cutting up the blood, it's still handy cam and it's still doing those jump cuts where it's like just to keep the scene moving. Yeah, it can be tiresome after a while.
But not a problem with this movie.
No.
This film, you know, the action sequences, I think, are filmed quite beautifully.
Well-paced.
You can see everything that's going on. What did you think about the troll?
I wasn't, as a character or the effects.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, we're talking about the fight editing, and, you know, there is a significant moment. That's going to be my word for this podcast. Significant. There's a moment where the troll kind of makes his presence abundantly known.
Okay.
And that's when we actually do kind of see a lot of CG effects.
In that
moment. And it works, though. There's not a whole way
you could have done that practically.
Exactly. What did you think of that? What did you think of them bringing in, like, we're dealing with witches and stuff. What did you think of, okay, we're going to bring in trolls and that sequence in particular?
You know, unnecessary, maybe. It seemed a little out of place, especially since we're not really introducing any other sort of mythical creatures. It's all witches and then humans in this world. So I would have liked for them to be a little more focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you needed to have kind of a protagonist or somebody who's on the fence, a character, let's get a dude witch in there. Maybe who's a, what are they called? Dude witches? There's a name.
Warlocks.
Thank you. Warlock. Let's get a warlock in there. So it seemed a little out of place to me. Although the effects weren't bad, and I'm not even talking about the CG. I mean, like the makeup effects, looked much better than the Avengers, the original, Avengers.
The Fantastic Four.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four. Yeah, with I can't think of the character's name now.
There was no makeup in that Avengers movie. They were all teddy bear costumes.
Who's the commish?
The Thing.
Yeah. When you go back and watch that, those are embarrassingly bad. And part of it has to do with the way it's lit.
Uh-huh.
But mostly it looks stiff. And this one, at least you could see the eyes moving around.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't mind the character. You did?
I thought it was okay. No. I got where they were going with it. They used it as a device to introduce the fact that, you know, that Gretel is a witch, that she's got witch blood. And so it wasn't the most subtle way to do it, nope. But at the same time it was creative enough. It was like, "Oh, okay, trolls serve witches." And that's what she's like, "Why did you help me? Trolls serve witches."
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's interesting.
He was the Dobby the house elf.
I was afraid they were trying to introduce him as a romantic option.
It did seem that way for a while.
Well, because
right?
at the same time, Hansel's getting it on with this chick in the pool.
Everybody's got a hookup.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't actually going to be her hookup, is it? Then I was like, oh my God, wait a minute. Maybe it's someone that like a witch put a curse on.
And
she falls in love with him, and then he like turns into like somebody else.
Beauty and the Beast thing,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. No, they're saving that one for the sequel, apparently.
Which they are working on.
Bullshit!
No, they're working on a sequel.
Oh, I'm in.
Will Ferrell and Adam McKay have said, we are interested in producing a sequel. We want to come back and do this.
It's so weird that their names weren't more prominently attached to this movie at all.
I guess every once in a while you produce a movie and have nothing else to do with it.
I know, but I mean, they could have sold more tickets, maybe.
You think so?
Well,
I mean, they're not in it. It's not like Will Ferrell's in the movie.
No, that's true. I know. Well, yeah, you're probably right.
So, so apparently Hansel, when he's in the house at the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and the witch is trying to fatten him up to cook him, she forces him to eat candy.
I love this.
So he gets like, he gets like supernatural diabetes.
He gets diabetes.
He gets like witch diabetes.
And he's got to take magical insulin.
What did he call it? What did they call it? They called it some other sickness or whatever.
Oh, I don't remember. But
and he basically has diabetes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, he has this alarm that goes off on his wrist, and like once the alarm goes off, he has like 5 seconds to inject himself, or he's going to die. Now, I'm diabetic.
Yeah.
And
it's not how it works. Huh?
It doesn't work like that at all.
You got a couple hours, maybe an afternoon.
Right? No, I don't have a thing. Like, I just, you keep up with your diet, and you just make sure. Like, I haven't checked my blood in months, but I just keep up with what it is that I'm doing. Now, with the winter months, I haven't been getting in quite as much activity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to die. Like, I'm not about to, like, fall over. And it's, like, that's one of the things that bothered me about this movie. One of the few things that bothered me about it. It served no purpose.
It served one purpose, and it was for the very last
final scene.
For him
to be weak and just to create. But just to create tension,
yeah.
It's not a purpose.
No.
That's not a purpose at all. Like, if they were able to use it in some way as a strength, to turn it around as a strength or, you know, something. That's how you use something, you set something up. That's the Chekhov's gun theory.
Yeah.
You don't just, we've introduced this. He's diabetic because we kind of had to stall for time at the end of the movie.
Ate a lot of candy.
Right.
Yeah, I thought for a moment there, I thought like Mina somehow was going to be an antidote to him in some
way.
Because she's the one who finds out about it first. You know, like, oh, that's going to come into play later.
Right.
But she's not even in the scene where he needs his insulin shot.
But he seriously starts like, oh, it's like Superman when he sees. And it's like the old Superman TV show where, like, someone will have kryptonite behind their back.
I know.
And, like, Superman's, like, all strong and tough. But then the moment he sees it,
that's
when he's like, oh, I'm weak. You know,
I didn't even think about it.
Like, the moment his alarm goes off, he's, like, falling to his knee. He's getting weak. He's about to die. And then she injects him with it, and immediately it's like Popeye with spinach. Like, he's like, oh, I'm strong enough to fight again.
So you think it's like a Dumbo's feather or...
Yeah, well, I just thought it was a silly mechanic that they threw into this movie that was kind of unnecessary. Well, I think they were trying to be more clever than it really, you know,
because what would happen if these kids grew up? Because in the original script, apparently, not only did he have diabetes, but Gretel was supposed to have an eating disorder. In the original script. Yeah.
Really?
I'm not quite sure how that was going to play in. Apparently, they cut it early on, so that's a good call. But, I think that's a scriptwriter being a little too...
Trying to be a little too clever. Yeah, exactly. Gemma Arterton is gorgeous.
I have a new striking woman. Appreciation for her. And she's beautiful in the kind of classic way. Like, she's not Angelina Jolie hot.
Yeah.
But she's not quite girl next door cute, but kinda, she is somewhere in that.
I prefer to Angelina.
Oh, I do too.
I'm not a big Angelina fan, so I prefer I prefer a look like this, what this woman has.
Absolutely.
A big Bond girl thing going on with this movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had
Famke Janssen.
You had her, and I think one of the original actresses that was supposed to play her role... it's on the Wikipedia page, and I can't remember who it was, but it was another... Bond chick.
What's her name?
Ava Green. It was supposed to be Ava. Okay. Ava Green was up for the role as well.
I could have seen her in that.
Right? And so it's funny to me that, like, you get these Bond chicks and you want them to play this role and they can't use their natural English accent.
None of them have accents.
I could not imagine Ava Green trying to throw down like this, an American kind of thing. And I think she's done it before, but I haven't seen it.
It wouldn't have been funny, I don't think.
No.
I think, how do you say her name? Gemma?
Gemma? It's Arterton. I think it's Gemma Arterton.
Yeah, let's go with that.
She's in this movie called The Disappearance of Alice Creed, which is her playing that role was what got her this job.
Ah.
And it's an amazing movie. It's kind of artsy, but it's an amazing flick. She's just got that. She's so expressive, and she's got that over, like, you know. And I love Ava Green. I thought Ava Green should have been Catwoman in the last Dark Knight movie.
That would have been much better.
I thought she would have been perfect for it. She's got the right age. She kind of fits Christian Bale a little bit more. I just kind of feel like what's her name, Princess Diaries.
Yeah. Shit.
What the hell's her name?
None of us sort of three grown three men guys. In this room.
Anne Hathaway. Thank you, Jeff. Anne Hathaway
goes too.
She still seemed a little too young to pair up with Christian Bale in that movie.
Yeah.
But I thought Ava Green would have been perfect.
It's good casting.
I've got other than the diabetes thing.
Those are the only problems we have with the movie.
I felt like my only other I can't believe I've only got like two problems with this movie. My only other issue with this movie was the fact that I felt like Hansel and Gretel had a little too much sexual tension.
You know what? I was just going to say that. You get two hot actors next to each other. They, in any other movie, they look like they could have been paired up. Like, they're, you know, they're both kind of the same height.
Yeah.
Mostly because of Jeremy Renner's shortness.
There's nothing wrong with being short.
But I think they... No. Nobody's going to blame me. I thought they did an okay job. I hear what you're saying. I feel like that was maybe a little bit of me projecting.
Uh-huh.
Like, I could see
that
was a
short
couple.
People.
That's right. Yeah, we should round them all up into camps.
No, but they really they did have like they had some moments though where you're like, well, are they about to make out?
Yeah.
Like when
she touches his arm
when they end up in their old home, house.
Mm-hmm.
And they fall down and they're like looking at each other and he's like got his hands all over her face. I've got sisters. I don't touch their face.
Yeah, he's like curled on the floor sleeping.
Oh,
and
he grabs her
holding
hand.
Holding her hand, and it's like, I wouldn't do that to my sister.
There's that, and also, they never bicker. Throughout this entire movie,
that's true.
They don't bicker. And I would have expected maybe even just a little bit of it. This is one of those situations where it's actually very acceptable. If you want to create tension in a movie, you don't have to give a character diabetes. You could just have them bicker with one another. Like, something happens.
Yeah.
But they're like... They get along way too well.
They really do. Yeah. Well, they've been through a lot together.
Uh-huh.
Not many brother sister couples have been kidnapped by witches.
Well, this is true.
In their youth, or really left alone for dead by their father.
What did you think about that twist at the end when we find out that their mom was a grand white witch?
What a fucking dark scene that was. Yeah. First of all, it took a dark turn there when they tell kind of the backstory. Here's what actually happened to your family. Oh, they all died moments after
trying
you were left
to protect
alone.
You.
Oh my God! But just the it was so gruesome though, to see the father being hung and she's burning,
and it's all in one
shot.
In the
background, it's an impressive shot.
It's an impressive shot where they're like lifting him up, and you still see her burning in the background.
But still, I was like, oh, it's a little too real for this kind of campy John Carpenter movie.
Yeah. But then you've then you follow it up with a whole bunch of ultra violence. Did you feel like this movie was too violent?
No, because of it was comic. When you do it over the top like this, you can't complain about something being too violent. I feel people complain about Quentin Tarantino being a little too violent, and he is really riding that line of, because he's doing these heavy dramatic movies, Django Unchained. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Yeah,
surely you did. That whole fight, or you know, the shootout at the end where there's just like blood packets bursting all over the place and people's kneecaps getting blown off. In the midst of this really kind of grounded movie trying to say something about slavery, that rides the line a little bit for me. Popping my peas there. Sorry about that.
That's beautiful. way to just fly through it. Way to just roll through.
Breaking that fourth wall, man.
I love Django until the end.
Yeah.
I thought that, you get into that final. It almost felt like a Scorsese flick in the fact that I've always kind of felt like Scorsese tells an excellent story, but more often than not, he doesn't quite know how to end his movies.
That's a good idea.
That's how I felt about Django. Like, I really liked it, but I felt like Tarantino had no idea how he wanted to end it. And so then you had, like, this lackluster shootout at the end.
Yeah. Anticlimactic.
Followed by this really uncharacteristic. Like, throughout the whole movie, you've got this, like, tone going, and it's a strong tone. And then at the very end, he, like, blows up a house and then, like, dances his way back to a horse or
whatever.
That's
exactly what I thought too. Yeah. I was like, it felt a little, not necessarily mean-spirited, but it didn't have the same gravity that the rest of the movie had.
It kind of just forgot what it wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're this tortured character who, you know, went through slavery. And it should be it shouldn't be that lighthearted.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so in a Tarantino movie like that, it's a little too real, but in something like this, where just like heads are getting squished and people are exploding, that first guy when Famke Jensen, all right, so there's this crowd of there's like five guys, right, and so there's all these child kidnappings, and so these five guys have been sent out by the sheriff or the mayor,
about the trees, the tentacles,
exactly, okay. Yeah, so they're out in the forest, it's dark, they've lit a fire, and Famke Jensen shows up. She doesn't reveal herself as the witch master that she is. Until I guess one of the dogs, she sticks their own dogs on them, so they start fighting her. And the last guy that she doesn't kill, she casts some spell on him, and he starts digging into the ground and eating a bunch of worms.
Oh my God.
And we cut away. Do you remember this scene? Yes. So then we go back, and Hansel and Gretel are in.
They're in the bar.
They're in a bar, and they're talking, and they've got the super fan who's kind of bugging them. Shows up, and this guy walks in who just had this confrontation with the witch, and he's clearly. upset and in a bad way, and he kind of stumbles in, and he I guess he announces to the bar that, you know, the witches, they stole or they kidnapped the kids,
and she's giving me a message, and that's when like message. Jeremy Renner, there's just this awesome shot.
I love it.
Jeremy Renner, and he takes the super fan kid and he just kind of moves him a little bit in the way.
He doesn't even lift his head up. He knows what's coming. He's like, just want to block the shrapnel. The best reaction though is Gretel.
Yeah,
she's standing there, arms crossed, looking at it. She kind of knows what's coming. So the guy who's been cursed and eaten all the bugs just explodes, just blows up.
Yes.
Torso.
Just intestines are flying
only like
into her
legs.
Face. Like just lands at his stomach lands on her face.
And she doesn't flinch at all. She's covered in blood. And then what's the line that she's followed up with? She says
like it's the living eating or whatever, the something curse. Something
the curse
eating
of
curse.
The eating worms.
And she's like, fucking hate that shit.
That's exactly what it is. And that's when I bought into the movie. I was like, all right, I get it. Let's see what they're going for. It's fantastic.
I'd bought in when she headbutt Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
Because you don't see that often. You don't see like a badass chick who just straight up will headbutt another dude. I don't think the last time I saw something like that was probably The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh yeah, with what's her name?
Yeah, Gina Davis. She was a badass.
I like
that
movie.
So she was definitely a badass, and they allow you to kind of buy into this lore early on in the flick.
Peter Stormare. Now that you've told me that they left a couple of scenes of his on the cutting room floor, disappointed because I thought he was kind of chewing up the scenery in this. He was clearly having fun.
He was with
his character.
You get the impression in a lot of his projects that he's having a good time. That he doesn't take a whole lot of movies unless he's going to have a good time doing it. You've got Big Lebowski, where he plays one of the nihilists.
Of course.
Armageddon. when he plays the crazy Russian cosmonaut.
Yeah.
Yes. He shows up like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours into the movie.
Yeah.
Like he shows up and then proceeds to steal flick out from almost everybody.
Yep.
He's really fun to watch. I love watching him in his films. I didn't know he was going to be in this one.
Me neither.
So then the moment he shows up, I was like, all right, okay. I'm
that
pretty good.
Offset the MTV Films Presents right there in the credits, and I saw his name. I'm like, all right, Peter Stormare. Good enough for him, good enough for me.
Uh-huh. All right, so do you have any other bullet points?
Yeah, I'm looking here.
Please go ahead.
I think we covered them all. No. Oh, Famke Janssen.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about her because we're talking about, you know, the few things that were bugged by this movie.
This is like the second time we've done a movie that she's been in.
I realize that. And the second MTV Films, because she was in, what's the high school aliens taking over the world?
Oh, yeah, the Faculty.
Faculty. She was in the Faculty
as
well.
This is the third one that we've done with her in it.
What was the other one?
The Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. More of a cameo, but I'll give you that.
She's become a common thread in our podcast.
That's true. Let's keep it going.
Go ahead.
She was the only weak part of the movie for me.
You think so?
Yeah.
I liked her.
I liked her. She's okay. She's serviceable. You know what it is? She has to spend half the movie in this makeup, which looks like it was a bitch to put on.
Uh-huh.
Or a witch to put on.
Jesus.
But sorry about that. That was horrible. But a lot of actors can play through that makeup.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of some good examples here where it just amplifies. Well, here you go. Jim Carrey in The Mask. I know that's it's reaching back 20 years now.
Okay.
But, you know, even without the makeup, you know, he's a cartoon character. And so having his entire face in that.
But you don't feel like Jim Carrey in The Mask was basically just Ace Ventura? Over the top the entire time?
Oh, absolutely. But it fit that character. And he, again, he didn't get lost in the makeup. He was still kind of able to make it work for him. I know, that's Jim Carrey.
No,
I'm not really a fan of that, of Jim Carrey's comedy anyway.
I'm following.
I'm more of a Truman Show Jim Carrey fan.
Oh, God. I'm not a Jim Carrey fan. I was not a fan of Jim Carrey going after the drama stuff. It felt like
Eternal Sunshine?
It felt like too much of a grab. I'm not a big Eternal Sunshine fan. Not a huge fan.
What? Jeff et tu, Brute? That's one of my favorite. I cry every time I see that fucking movie. I cry despite Jim Carrey being in it.
Really?
Because I think the themes.
You let your husband hold your purse for you when you watch it?
That's right. He cups my balls gently and caresses them, and sometimes it tingles.
I was doing that for Jeff's benefit. I said that for Jeff's benefit. I'm the guy that cried at the end of Walter Mitty. So.
Oh, no. I heard it was cry worthy. I'll have to check that one out. No, I love that movie, man.
I got you. So I liked her. I liked her in the movie. I thought that she did a fine job through the makeup.
She's fine.
I thought that I liked seeing her play this kind of a role. I've seen her be, you know, the Jean Grey style character, the character that gets a lot of focus but doesn't really do a whole lot. This was kind of a delicious little role for her to get to play.
It was,
and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed when she went into the town to get the final child, and she's in the house and she like curses the guy or whatever, and then makes him shoot himself.
Yeah,
and she's like, you know, you humans, everything looks so drab. This house could use a little more color, and like makes him shoot his head off.
Yeah,
like that's. I thought she did a really good job. It was a really good delivery. I really liked it. I liked how she was over the top, and it was just enough.
I
wasn't bothered by it at all.
I think she fit, but I got to admit, my favorite scenes are where she doesn't have makeup on, and she's the little subtle facial gestures that she has. That's kind of her strength. And so when you cake that makeup on her, it really could have been anybody.
Is that she's pretty.
No, not even that. But I mean, like when she's telling the story near the end of what happened to Hansel and Gretel's father and son.
I'm glad you reminded me. That's the third thing that I had a problem with.
Oh yeah, let's hear it.
No.
I just like that scene because you hate her but you love her at the same time. She's so wicked.
She flushes herself out. She flushes. I just caught what you said.
Thank you.
She flushes herself out as a villain, but it was like way too late in the movie for us to sit down and just listen to somebody deliver exposition.
A monologue. Yeah.
And it wasn't like an entertaining monologue. It wasn't like an Ozymandias from Watchmen, like, I did it 36 minutes ago. Like it was, instead, it was, this is what happened 30 years ago. It was just, it went on. It just went on a little too much. And that, I'm glad you reminded me of that because I would have forgotten about it completely.
I'm glad I could remind you of the thing you didn't like about this movie.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, thanks. I get what you're saying about that, you know, you like to see her. She's a little more expressive and she deserves to kind of be seen a little bit more.
I still dug her.
I don't know who I would have replaced her with. I don't think it was her fault.
No, I don't think
that you would want to replace her. I think maybe the makeup. Maybe they should have changed the makeup. Exactly. A little bit more subtle. However, it was such a treat getting to see all the different witches at the end.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Oh, my God. It was so fun. Like, when Jeremy Renner jumps in there and he tries to go save Gretel, and all these witches show up, and you've got, like, the Siamese twin witch.
You have every stereotype of a witch that you can get. Yeah, you have the little Asian woman who has the cane.
Uh-huh.
You got the Siamese twins. Yeah, just every different type of
witch. The legless witch.
I love that one who's just like not a paraplegic.
That he kicks off of his leg and then shoots.
That's a great. Yeah, there's a lot of fun ultra violence and some shots like that one that'll kind of stay with you after the fact. It's fun.
What did you think this movie did? Well, of the things that we felt the movie did right, what did you think it did the best?
The best. Got to go with Gretel.
Yeah,
this is a star waiting to be discovered.
And she's done plenty of work. She's had plenty of work.
But until
she just can't quite hit.
Until we know her name, or until at least I can fucking pronounce her name, because I can't even know how to spell it. But she'll forever be Gretel for me. No, really, really good. It's tough to, and you know this as a director when you're working with a kind of mixed format like this, where it's a little bit of comedy, but a little bit of drama, but a little bit of, it's easy to get lost one way or the other. And to have,
it's hard to keep that balance.
She was the kind of, I know it's Hansel and Gretel, but she's really kind of the center of this
movie.
She's
the heart.
She really is the heart.
She is the heart. And ironically, that's what the witches wanted.
Ooh, wow. Look at that. Look at that. That's why you're the professional, Joe.
She was.
Leon.
She was.
I'm going to call you Leon.
Oh, my God.
The professional.
Oh, good. Not because I want to live with a young girl in my apartment.
No. That's why they call me Leon.
Oh, my God. I sent Joel an email earlier this week.
Yeah, that was great.
And it was a picture of Chloe Moretz, and I'm like, one more year, because she's celebrating 17 years old this year.
Legal in Canada. Yeah. We can just get across
and
the
Texas.
Border there. What? No.
Yeah.
Is 17 legal 17, in Texas?
17 is legal in Texas.
All that wasted time. Those 12 months.
Oh my God! Okay, so what did this movie do wrong?
You know, man, I got to go back to Famke Janssen.
To Famke,
but with spit it out, Joel. By saying that, if she's the weakest thing in this movie, then it's still a really good movie because. My quibbles with her are minor.
Uh-huh.
Minor.
Your quibbles are minor.
Say that twice.
Oh my gosh. So I think what the movie did best is the overall delivery, just the delivery of it. The fact that it's very tongue in cheek.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's fun from the moment it starts to the moment it ends. It is a fun ride, and it doesn't forget that And I think that's probably, it's something that could be said for Raimi's Evil Dead movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that can be said for Zombieland. It's a movie that doesn't forget that it has an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it agrees to go on this ride with you. And it acknowledges that you're there with us the entire time, or you're there with them the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's something that's actually kind of hard to pull off.
It's very difficult to maintain that tone. And, I keep going back to this one, but Monkey Bone. Mm-hmm. Is a movie that could have benefited from somebody who knew how to maintain that type of tone throughout.
Yes.
And that's what happens when it's done wrong.
Uh-huh.
This is the movie when it's done right.
Yes. What the movie did wrong.
You don't like the troll character, huh?
It's going to be... Of the three things, I'd have to go with the diabetes thing.
It just didn't
matter. It was built up. And there was no payoff other than the fact that, again, it was a vice.
Yeah.
It was something that, okay, you could have just had anything happen in that cabin. Anything could have happened. There wasn't a moment where, like, Hansel died because of the diabetes. We've also had moments where he had chased after a witch and apparently landed in a tree.
Yeah.
And he was, like, sleeping there for, I assume, many hours.
Overnight, yeah.
Overnight. Where the hell was the diabetes injection then? Like, it's too hard to pay attention to something like that. unless you're going to pay attention to something like that.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it.
Exactly. If you're going to make that if you're going to make that a limitation of your character, you need to be very conscious of it existing the entire story.
Yeah.
And they weren't. They were sloppy with that element.
Yeah, just when it was convenient.
And then exactly. And then one of the moments it was convenient, the key moment it was convenient, was to make him weak for no other reason. You could have done anything else and it would have worked.
And even then it wasn't drawn out for very long.
No.
Like 5 seconds later, Gretel comes over with the insulin, pops him, and like you said, just like Superman, he's right back to fighting Brian.
It was just to create tension.
Yeah.
You know, you could have done anything. You could have had her reanimate the corpse of the White Witch of Mina. You know, you could have had something happen like that where it like stops him in his tracks for a second. Bam, he gets knocked out. It's that easy. I felt like the diabetes thing, again, the writer thought he was being way more clever than he really was, and it just didn't pay off.
When you know that and you know like the eating disorder storyline that they were trying to work in with Gretel,
was a good idea to get rid of the eating disorder thing.
Kudos for trying to be creative with the backstory.
I feel like the writer was like, okay, fine, I'll give up the eating disorder, but Hansel still has to have diabetes. And, you know, maybe it's one of those things. Maybe they thought they were doing something positive where it's like, look, we've got a hero who's got diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I don't, as a diabetic.
Like putting a black man in your after-school special.
I'm really not impressed one way or the other. I don't need a character to have diabetes to feel like he's effective.
I just had a thought. Were there any black people in this movie?
Yes, at the very end.
The
witches. Some of the other witches.
Oh, okay.
No, but I mean,
no, you're right. You're right.
No, there's some of the other witches were
just
black.
Thought about that.
There were no other. There really weren't any other black people.
Well, I guess
people
it's
in this
supposed
movie.
To be
the
like
troll.
A,
I guess was kind of.
Oh yeah.
Ethnic.
If it's supposed to be set in like a Nordic country, then probably not a lot of variety.
See, usually this is the point where I would say like, okay, if we were to remake this movie,
yep.
Who would we use? But it's only a year old.
I don't have anything.
Yeah.
It would have been Chloe Moretz or Natalie Portman again, or Mila Kunis. But
all
we've
these
already
people
seen
that
her.
We're not allowed to use.
We've already seen Mila Kunis
as
a witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are my top
no,
three.
No, I liked this cast. I really wouldn't have recast it as anything other than, I mean, if not Famke, who would you have used for the
And
for the
that's
evil
the
witch?
Problem. I don't have a better alternative.
Yeah.
Because you got to have somebody who's semi-attractive. I go back to Sigourney Weaver.
Really?
But again,
I would go
she's
with,
done that role and she's old.
If I were to do that,
sorry, Sigourney.
If I were to go with your grief, which isn't my grief, but if I were to pick someone, I guess I would go with someone who's old but beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I would go like Helen Mirren.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's hot.
Well, yes, she's very attractive for her age. She's done the witch thing. She was Morgana in Excalibur.
Oh my God, yeah, you're
way
right.
Way back in the day.
I forgot about that.
Her and Liam Neeson. Did you see the trailer for that new Liam Neeson movie?
No.
Nonstop, where he plays the air marshal?
Oh, yes, I have seen
that.
We
have
that
to
one.
Go see that movie. That has to be what we do next.
Oh, because it's going to be bad?
Yeah. It looks classically bad.
It
looks February bad.
Yeah.
If you see any... Well, first off, if you have any opinions about Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, please let us know. We're on Facebook, and we're waiting to hear from you. You just go to Facebook. I don't know what I'm saying.
You were doing the Ghostbusters thing.
We are here to believe you. If you have any opinions on it, just go to Facebook. If you're not already following us, just go to your search
What's
bar.
What's wrong with you?
Type in the editing bay, and we're right there. The woman with the eyes bleeding. Let us know what you thought about Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. If you haven't seen this movie, I recommend it. You can go to Netflix right now and watch it. They've got it on streaming. Do yourself a favor. It's actually pretty fun. If you're a fan of, you know, this is one of the things I just digested like 8 seasons of Supernatural.
Oh yes.
And like, if you're into Supernatural, this might be up your alley. Siblings fighting against supernatural creatures.
It's true.
It's ultra violent. There's a lot of blood. It's an ultra violent movie, but it's really fun. If you're into Supernatural, if you're into Buffy, if you're into like Once Upon a Time, the Sam Raimi Evil Dead style movies, you would really dig this. So
I compare it to the John Carpenter. It was called Vampires.
Oh yeah, yeah,
with,
90s with James Woods.
James Woods, one of my favorites.
Absolutely. Check this out. Let us know what you thought about it. And if there's something that you like that we haven't talked about yet on the podcast,
yeah.
give us your ideas. Joel has a running list, and this was apparently on it. We were going to do a different movie, and he's like, dude, I've got like this running list of other movies that we should be doing.
Well, that one seems similar to stuff we've done before, although having watched this now, it feels like similar to some other things.
You know what? It was a pleasant surprise. Yeah. It really was a pleasant surprise.
I'd like to do sometime soon, Joe, since we have Valentine's Day coming up. We have yet to
He's
going to
put this on the recording so that way we've got it like committed. Right. He's like, you can't get out of it now.
Well, I still haven't got my Wii U, so that hasn't quite come to fruition.
That's
so.
True. That's true. Go ahead.
But I'm 0-1.
I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to do a chick flick. There are so many bad chick flicks out there. I get dragged to them every year. I have a feeling I'm going to get dragged to another one this year.
Uh-huh.
And they need to be taken to task.
You and Katie should go to Draft House. They're going to do Master Pancakes doing The Notebook.
I saw they're doing The Notebook, and they're also doing a sing-along of Frozen.
They're doing the quote-along of Scott Pilgrim this Sunday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've got my tickets
already. So many things to see.
All right, so we're going to just sit here and talk about what our plans are. If there's anything that you think might be interesting for us to talk about, go ahead and let us know on the Facebook page. And seriously, tell your friends about this podcast, because we'd like to become popular.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it.
We're just like little high school nerds inside.
We just want the cool people to like us.
I know, just one cool person. It's like in Scott Pilgrim. You know what? If enough people see us, she won't be the only one wearing our shirt. It'll be the cool kids, too. All right, so with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of The Editing Bay. I want to thank you very much for listening, and check us out next week. Also, before we go, this coming April, we're going to be doing a live viewing.
Oh, great. Yep,
we've got it down.
Up.
It's going to be the weekend of April 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it's going to be the 11th or the 12th yet. I think it's going to be the 11th.
Let's do both. Let's just keep driving, Luis.
It's going to be one of those two nights. We're gonna do a live viewing of a film.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go ahead and do a recording of the podcast in front of an audience.
Should be fun.
Yeah, hopefully.
Of our friends and peers.
It should be fun. Fun. Oh, my God, I'm out of here. You guys, my name's Joe.
I'm Joel.
And thank you. We'll catch you next week.
See you.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.